the words we just sang in this last verse, that's Jesus speaking. I will live, and I'll declare thy fame. That is today Jesus who wants us to hear about his fame, and he wants us to hear his worthy praise. Seven times, children, did Jesus speak as he was laying or hanging on the cross. Seven words that are worth framing. Each one of them is full of significance, especially as we see where he is hanging on the sacred cross. Yet when one of these words stands out above all, and that's in the Greek just one word. In our English it's three words. It is finished. But the Greek is one word. Telio. Finished. One man, his name is Knapp, he said in the Greek it's one word, yet its depth and its comfort all books in heaven and earth cannot expound. This one word is short, but shoreless, finished. Something unique about this word finished. Has no address. It's the only one of the seven that wasn't directed particularly to one address. The first one was to the Father. Father, forgive them. The second one was to the penitent. And he said, thou wilt be with me today in paradise. The third one was to comfort his mother. Behold, your son. The fourth one was a rending cry to God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the fifth one was a direction to the soldiers as he cries out, my thirst. And they gave him something to drink. And the seventh one, the last one, is again to his Father, into thy hand do I commit my spirit. But the sixth one, finished, is no address. It's spoken to all. It's spoken to God. It's spoken to all angels and saints in heaven. It's spoken to all sinners and saints gathered in Golgotha. It's spoken to all of hell. Finished. Everywhere, this word finished needs to be heard as a triumphant shout. And undoubtedly, it caused joy in heaven. And the angels may have said what was spoken on earth. And how will the saints of the redeemed have rejoiced to hear that he finished? It caused a shudder in hell, as this was the moment of the defeat. And it speaks today, hope, for hearts that are burdened and heavy laden, and troubled and tried with their sin. Feeling the need to reconcile, but having no means to reconcile. Souls of boys and girls who long for God, but who feel the distance and who see the sin. Finished. It's a massive, massive message of hope. Finished. Was a most pleasant word to God. As the smoke of the altars would arise to heaven. And we read repeatedly in the book of Leviticus, it was a well-smelling savor to God. Now, we all know that when meat burns, that smells bad. But the scripture says that when that meat of that animal burned, it was a sweet smelling savor. The Hebrew means this, it was a rest giving savor or smell. And undoubtedly, what a sweetness when the son could say in his father's ear, "Finished, Father, all that thou gave me to do." Let's together this morning explore this finished a little bit. As far as I'm able to. And what did this finished mean? What task did Jesus finish? And what is the message that Jesus gives in this finished? And those two points kind of mix together this morning. So let's ask the first question. What does this finished mean? Is this referring to the fact that Jesus finished emptying the cup? Remember the cup? The cup that my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Is this what the finished is? I finished the cup of suffering. I finally emptied the last drop. Finished. Is that what it is? There's no question about it that Jesus' suffering was a deep and a dark tunnel. It's undoubtedly true that there was a dimension to it that you and I could never grasp. Now we've seen that as he struggles with the intensity of the fear as he stands before this cross death. And yet who of us can fathom what this went through as he is forsaken of God his Father and is drinking up the wrath and every expression of displeasure about the sins of his church? Now the crucified suffered. There's probably not a more painful way to die than on a cross. They could hardly breathe. And don't forget, Jesus was a real man, children. When you get a little splinter in your hand, you hurt. What must it have been to have a nail through your hand? And then you have your body weight tearing that down and down and down. He was a real man with real pain. He felt that. Finished. Is that what it is? Oh, he's still hanging on the cross. He's still feeling pain. It can be just that. Indeed, if Jesus had no divine nature, he would not have sustained it, but do not forget his divine nature did not protect him from the pain, did not keep him from the suffering. That was real and that was painful and that was horrible. Every arrow of Satan, barbed arrow, was stuck in him. And all the bitter agony of God's wrath was felt in him. And as we just sang together from Psalm 22, do not think that he only set the first verse on the cross. As he's battling there, he's prayed his whole psalm. And maybe today your families, you could read that psalm once. And every line of that psalm, undoubtedly the Savior prayed through as he hung on the cross. Finished. And yet, friends, we miss the point if we think that finished refers to the ending of his suffering. That's not what it is. You know, Jesus was never occupied with himself, not even on the cross. He's not occupied with his own suffering. Jesus never dwells on his own suffering. He's only one thing in his mind. How can I glorify, serve, love my God, my Father? And how can I love every human being? That's on his mind. All the time. As he lives on earth. to love and to fulfill the law. It was his delight to do his father's law. His heart was to love. In Gethsemane, his eyes is in the disciples. Even though he struggles himself. On the cross, his eyes is on his Roman soldiers who don't know what they're doing. And many others around there don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. His ear is open to that cry on the side of him. This penitent thief, please, Lord, have mercy upon me. His eyes on his mother as he's there standing as a desolate woman next to his beloved disciple. He's not thinking about him suffering. That is not the finished. On the way to the cross we saw last week, he has his eyes on the weeping woman and children, and he looks ahead in the future and he sees what's coming for them. So no, finished does not mean I have finished my suffering, though it was true that moments later when he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, then all his suffering was over. True. Still, that finish did not refer just to the pain. Then what? Did it refer to his task as mediator? I finished my task as mediator. Finished. Oh, absolutely not, friends. He hasn't finished his work as mediator. That's not over. His work as mediator is far from finished. Though he has come to the end of his humiliation, now the steps of his exaltation will come. And that is still going on as he is at the right hand of his Father. He's not finished with that. If he would be finished with that, then this church service would end at this moment. But it's not, as you noticed, so far. Maybe the end of the service is maybe finished. If the one last one that sits here, he has to gather yet, is finished gathering, the trumpet will blast, and the words will sound. But that is not finished then. He's still gathering sinners. He's still working in this world to build his church. He's still governing. And he will not be finished until indeed he has handed over unto his Father the charge he was given. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 24. He says, then cometh the end. When Christ has come back, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and all power. But he's not finished with his work. Oh, children of God, what would we do if his work was finished today? And if all the rest was up to us? No, he is here finished with one part of his work, to take up the next part of his work, as he stands as the mediator between God and man. And that's, my dear unsaved listener, that's why you can come to God through him, who is there as the mediator. Never can you come to God. He's holy. Always can you come to Jesus, because he's the mediator. How you are, you cannot appear before God. There's no way we will ever stand before this living, holy being. But no matter what you like and have been, may always come to Jesus. He stands between God and us, the mediator. And therefore now, though he is raised into the heavenly glory, he's still God's servant. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He has the same feeling towards sinners. The same love. He still has no pleasure that you live separate from God. That is your death. No pleasure in the death of the wicked. There's no pleasure in the fact that you still live separate from God. That's still in his heart. That's still in his soul. That's still why he is preaching to you. That's still why he wants to declare his fame to us this morning. Let us feel that he is there the same as he was on earth. Ever watching, ever guarding, and ever guiding his church. So then what is that finished referred to? Not finished just his suffering, not finished as the servant of God, and maybe finished is the mockery and the rejection he received. Would that be over? And no, it's not. Oh yes, the voices were quieted for a while when everything became eerie dark. And there was not a word spoken. And there was no mockery. It was the total abandonment. The eeriest moment the world has ever seen. And yes, the mockery died down. But it started right up. The inveterate darkness and wickedness of man is the most vividly illustrated here on Golgotha. That they dared to pick up the mockery and disdain of Jesus after they've just witnessed what they have witnessed and heard. No, friends, today the mockery of Christ continues and it will continue until the last day. It is grievous and dishonorable what is being taught about Jesus in the heresies around the world. And we haven't seen the last heresy yet. It's offensive and disgraceful how Jesus' cross is rejected. And how his name is mocked and laughed at. And disdained and ignored. That's terrible. And not only done by the world who despise and reject him as the lawgiver. But we also do that as religious people. When we cling to the rags of our own righteousness. So I was reading Luther yesterday morning. He opened my eyes to something as he expounds the words idolatry in the book of Galatians. And idolatry, he says, is anyone who doesn't trust in Jesus Christ. Anyone. Idolatry is when we cling to ourselves or our own rags of righteousness in our religion. That's a mockery of Christ. That continues, not only in the world, but also among the religious. It's a point for us to examine this morning, friends. Do I participate in the disdain of Jesus' cross? Paul says, oh, God forbid I glory in anything else but the cross. Is that my life? Is that your life? Let's ask ourselves that this morning as we look at this finished. Multitudes of this world's people abuse the sixth statement of Jesus' cross words. There are many who are grabbing finished as a cover for a carnal life. And that's a point to search this morning. It's one thing to say, I trust on the finished. And I trust on the work of Christ as my hope. And I flatter myself with Christ's finished work for sinners, but I disdain his work within a sinner. What is that work? Paul writes, that God forbid that I save, I glory in the cross of Christ by which the world is crucified to me. Is that part also the part of my life? When I glory in Christ, then the nails of Christ will go through my lusts and my pleasures and my idols. They will not be dead, but they will be crucified with him. Is that my life, friends? Can people see the nails of Christ in my life? In my walk with him? In my walk with others? It's one thing to glory in his death, but it's another thing to participate in his death. And this is the moment we need to examine. It's wonderful to find hope in finished, but are we also finding our battle in dying to the cross? Dying to the world, I mean. If I continue to live a life that hugs the world, and if I continue to find pleasures in the vanity of the world, and if I continue to live carnally and unconverting, and all my boasting about Christ is vain. That's a hoax. Let's go back to our text. Finished. We've seen it's not referring to his suffering finished. It's not referring to his work as mediator finished. It's not referring to the mockery and the disdain of this blessed Jesus. Then what does this finished refer to? Well, let's consider that after we sing. Maybe Psalm 109 already gives us a clue about what this finished refers to. The offerings on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. 109, let's sing four verses, and again, that's a messianic psalm. Read it in that light. Thank you. finished. With a great emphasis and with a tremendous joy, could Jesus proclaim this word on the cross right before he lay down his soul in his Father's hand. Finished. Now what did he finish? He finished the task that's your and mine. And that was his as well. What was that task? The task we failed in paradise and you and I fail every day. It is to love God with all our heart and mind and strength and soul and to love our neighbor as ourselves. He was sent into this world to do what you and I are created for. To glorify God by doing and by being a reflection of the great love that this God is all about. That was the task you and I were made for. That's the task what he came into this world for. You know what we did. We failed. But he didn't. I've come to fulfill the law, he says. I've come to live it out. I'm here to do my Father's will in fulfilling, in doing the law of love and congregation. We fail in that daily. But this man who hangs on the cross could say now, finished, completed, done it. From the moment he was conceived to the moment he expired. And between that is his long journey of loving. Where we failed and fail, Jesus finished. Now do not forget he did it of his voluntary will. That's not a forced. This was a voluntary thing. We sang it together. I delight to do thy will. He who was God became obedient. He became obedient even unto the point of the death on the cross. Obedient. Of what? What is the obedience? Love. He so loved that he was willing to be obedient even to the point of dying on the cross, the cursed death. He endured the cross and despised the shame. There's no more shameful thing than to be a transgressor of every single commandment in every single shape and taste that we sinners are capable of doing. And he became obedient to take that place scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But he did it. For the most villainous, vile men. Finished. I have obeyed the law in the love to God my Father. Do not forget this was a costly obedience. Shameful obedience. The indignity of the cross is not to be grasped by us. At least let's try. There is no more shameful way to be exposed before heaven and earth than what Jesus did on the cross. Peer upon it. Finished. He was taking the wrath. He took the sword of justice. His soul is pierced stroke by stroke when he takes my shame and my sin and my worthlessness and my guilt. Finished. That's good news. That is the good news of Good Friday this morning, isn't it? The fact, that's the news, that Jesus has fulfilled all the commandments on behalf of his chosen people. Are you here this morning with that heavy heart? And you always stare on your failures and your failing. Can't just love the way you ought to love. You know, you try, but you fail. Can't just get up in the morning and have that vibrant love to God the Father just pouring out of you. Can't just be loving to those people around you, even your own kids and spouse sometimes are hard to love. And we fail daily. Are you sitting here this morning feeling the testimony of all your defects and all your imperfections and all the shortcomings in loving your God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself? Are you here coming on this day feeling your heart weeping? Lord, I just can never get there. I just always fall short of thy glory. I want better. I desire better. I need to do better, but I can't do better. Are you here this morning tired of all the sin and all the vanity that cleaves even to your best duties? Tired. Burdened. Heavy laden. Oh, come, strain your ear for a moment and listen. Finished. Not just for himself. He didn't come to this world for himself. He didn't need to come for himself. Finished. You hear that? There's a gospel in that for you. He finished it for sinners, weary and faulty and failing and unable and helpless and guilty and unworthy and shameful. Come out of your hiding and come to this finished. Throw away your covers. Come as naked in all your ugliness and all your filthiness and your shamefulness. Come to this finished. He doesn't need any more from you. He doesn't need your obedience. He doesn't need your sacrifice. He doesn't need your devotion. He doesn't need your trials. It is finished. Come. Take this finished this morning as he's holding it out before us in this proclamation. Oh, hell cannot take this. But it is for sinners here that the gospel is proclaimed again. The hope, my friend, here is the divine provision, finished. He's done all the obeying. He's done everything without a flaw. And therefore, look to him. In Psalm 40, verse 40, we read, "Blessed is the man that maketh Jehovah his trust." Will you be that one this morning? Will you trample down all your own righteousnesses at this moment? Will you strip off all the covers and say, "Lord, here I am, just as ugly as I am, and just as filthy as I am, and just as fallen as I am." And will you trust in his finished? Not in your own unfinished business. Will you make him your trust? Will you take him as your righteousness? Will you hide yourself in him? Oh, don't doubt his willingness. remember me. Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a wretched man that is. You know, you just don't get crucified for nothing. There's a record on that guy's head. That's the worst of the worst criminal you could find in Israel. Remember me. Please, remember me. The other one didn't ask. Should have. But he didn't. But the one who did, what does he meet? Reluctance in Jesus? No, wait a moment. Not so quick, mate. That is him. Finished. Come. Come to him this morning. Jesus finished means he has finished the task to make reconciliation a reality. We have to learn that over and over, don't we? Nothing else will reconcile me to God but this finished work of Christ alone. You know, holy desires and genuine sorrow and tears and changing of your ways and humbling of your heart, it's all good and well, friends. Let's have more of it. But please, 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 never think that that will bring reconciliation. That's not it. Don't think that the better you are, the more you lay God under a debt to show you mercy. No, no. There's no debts from his side. All from our side. Finish. It's an offense to come with something of yourself. It is an offense to Jesus finished when you think, oh, but before I can trust in his finished, I need the first this or I need the first that. No! That is an offense to say to Jesus. That's saying to him, not quite finished. If you think that way, then you're in the Roman Catholic tradition. Still. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need your righteousness. He doesn't need your good works. He doesn't need your good frames. He just is here saying to us, it is finished. I have made a reconciliation. I have done the meriting. I have done the satisfying. I have done the pacifying. I have opened the door and I open my arms to take you through that door in my righteousness, in my blood, in my merits. Therefore, look away from your past, look away from your present, look away from yourself, look away from the loads of guilt, look away from your shortcomings, look away from all that which weighs you down, and listen, and look. Finished. Finished. Thirdly, the word finished means the victory over Satan. The great battle of Jesus was a battle against the adversary. Remember Genesis 3, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. The entire life journey of Jesus is one giant battle. Never had a moment of rest in that battle. Satan is at his heels all the time to try to tempt him. And now finally, when he came to the end of his life, we see him rising up. Let us go. The last part. And as he's come at the end of the sixth hour on the cross, he has bruised his head. Finished. That doesn't mean that Satan is dead. That means Satan's headship is gone. He's no more the prince of the world. Today, Jesus is the prince of the kings of the earth. He finished it. What a comfort. We don't live in a world ruled by the Prince of Darkness. We live in a world ruled by the Prince of Light. He's finished it. And then one more time, let us look at this, it is finished. Congregation, do not notice, he did not say, I have finished. There's no I in this Satan, in this sentence. He says, finished. He didn't say, I have finished the work, I've finished the suffering, I've emptied the cup. Why not? Didn't he do? Yeah, no. Misunderstanding. The cross is not about Jesus. The cross is Jesus, but not about Jesus. God so loved. It's His work that's finished. It's the triune God that's finished. It's part of the meriting and the provision. The cross isn't just about Jesus. It is about the glorification and the revelation of the greatness of God. And Jesus captured that. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, so Jesus loved the world. God loved the world. Finish draws our attention to the deep thoughts of God's redemption, and are deep. As we look one more time at this scene of Calvary, and we see there, as it were, the naked, shamed Jesus hanging. This man who touched the lives of thousands with his love. The man who walked over this earth with a tender love and regard for God his Father. And we see him there hanging disrobed and humiliated. Calvary shows us, friends, how far man will go in sin. Now let's ponder about that. Calvary shows you how far man goes with sin. As we took the Lamb of God, the servant of God, the Savior of the world, the gift of God, and instead of adoring Him and falling down before Him and following Him and giving up Him all our treasures for Him, we crucify Him. But Calvary doesn't only show us how far man will go into sin. Calvary also shows us how far God will go for a sinner's salvation. There he hangs. His only begotten. Never came it up in the heart of God to ask you to take your firstborn for your soul and sacrifice him or her for the redemption of yourself. Never. 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 Baal will ask that. Astaroth will. Satan will. Never God the Father. Never Jehovah. But it came up in his heart. Oh, it was in his heart to do it himself. Let us adore him. Amen. Almighty, sacred God and Father, it is such a stammering only that comes out of our mouth, Lord, when we praise Thee for this unspeakable finished. Oh God, help us to grasp the beauty, the hope, the gospel. It is finished. Let it ring and echo on in our heart. Let it bring peace and joy. Let it nourish our souls. Let it, Lord, also cause us to lose our love for all that which caused Thee to suffer and die. Put Thy nail through our lusts, but also, Lord, let us taste the love of God in this so magnificent truth of that finished. And so go with us, abide with us today. Lord, help us to have moments of quiet reflection. Help us to have moments of adoration. And please draw those of us out of all their fears and doubts who just dare not put their trust in this finished work of Christ. And please, Lord, help us to strip off all the covers by which we try to hide our shame, to make ourselves worthier. Please, do Thou what Thou hast always done through all the ages, with every one, Lord, that Thou hast saved. And that is to make our hearts trust in Thy righteousness and Thine only. Thank Thee for bringing us together. Guide us further in this day. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.